All right, good morning, everyone. And mentioned to you, Pastor Josh is away this weekend. He's gone to a conference, so learning more, educating our pastor is a good thing so that he can faithfully serve. And it's always good to support him. So I get to preach today. And this occurred to me while we were singing a song. I want you all to, if you have your Bible today, whether it's electronic or like these, you know, with pages in them, just hold them up for just a second. I want you to realize what you have in your hands for just a moment. Do you understand you have the Word of God in your hands? Isn't that amazing to have that? Praise God for that. That's a privilege that you and I have that so many in this world do not have. And so thank you, God, for giving us this in so many ways. So don't take for this for granted for what he's given to us inside of these pages. We're in a season, many of you care and some of you don't care, we're in football season. And so I wanted us to take a halftime break here for just a moment. At the halftime, what they generally do is they go back and they just review some highlights in the first half. And so we've been going through the book of John, and we're in chapter 8. And you might say, well, there's 21 chapters in the book of John. That's not halfway. So for those who are hockey fans, this is after the first period. We're a third of the way through. So that's for you. I don't watch hockey. I know that's a lot of excitement for a lot of people, but I don't understand it. I can understand soccer better. I know they both go back and forth. But we're in that halfway point, and a significant event has just occurred. If you were with us last week, I want to take us right up to that point, and then I want to show us how this ties together with missions. We want to go through and highlight missions this next month, and it all ties into the book of John. There's no separation. There is no separation. Missions is because of Jesus in the book of John, and we don't want to forget that as we go through this. So let me go back in a few places and highlights in the book of John, and it's been many months we've gone through this. We take a section of time, and some of you are visitors. We regularly go through a book, and we go through that book with the intent of just opening it up and what God has shown us. So we've been going through the book of John. John chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That was a quandary to Nicodemus, to understand how you can be born again. And then later in the book, he says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus here reveals himself as the Savior of the world, the Savior that you and I need in that verse. In chapter 4, in verse 14, if you're following along, you can turn to these verses as we go there. But in these verses, Jesus says to the woman at the well in Samaria, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give to him will never be thirsty again." This woman, after he tells of all of the things that she has done and the husbands that she has, what does she do? She runs to her town and tells the people, "Come and see a man who has told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ, the one we've been waiting for?" So here Jesus reveals himself as the one who completely satisfies everything. He satisfies. Over in chapter 5 of the book of John, we see Jesus again revealing himself. In verse 25, he says to the Jews in Jerusalem at a feast of that time, "Truly I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." And he says, the Son also has the ability and the authority to execute judgment. Jesus here reveals himself as the giver of life and the judge. You see where we're going with this? Constantly revealing himself to the people and to us. Chapter 6, flip over there in verse 35. Chapter 6 says this, and Jesus is talking to the crowds who are gathered by him with nearby the sea, and he's just fed them. I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And again, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Here Jesus reveals himself as our provider. Spiritually, yes, physically, but he's really talking about himself as our provider spiritually. He is the one we come to for the bread of life. Now, last week, if you're again with us, there's a critical juncture in the time of Jesus on this earth in chapter 8, the crescendo, as Josh mentioned it last week. In his plan to reveal himself, Josh had mentioned this. In verse 58 of chapter 8, it says this, and he reveals himself in this mystery that's been hidden from all of creation for ages. He says this to the Jews, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God for that. Because what he says there reveals truly who he is and who we need to understand about this Jesus that came to earth to be with us. I am. That is the revelation of himself as God in the flesh. Back at the beginning of the book of John, he says that he is that flesh born of woman. He is the word of life. This is an extraordinary thing to the Jews at the time, and it should be extraordinary to us as well, to reveal himself to us in this way, to be able to understand this is God. So he reveals himself as the fulfillment of prophecy, God in flesh amongst us. So we see all through these chapters we've gone through where Jesus reveals himself as the light of man, the living one, the one who offers hope. He is the living water. He is the bread of life, the judge, the one you have to believe in to have eternal life. In light of all of this, what do you do? There is a call to us. You can't listen to these words of Jesus and just sit, can you? Something has to happen here. All of these things we've talked about for months, for weeks, and as we continue into this fall, we're going to continue. In light of all of this, what do you do? I want to ask you one question first. I'm not waiting to the end. Have you trusted this Jesus? Do you believe everything that he says about himself? And maybe you've struggled with this decision in your life. You've heard these messages many times, maybe from these pulpits here, maybe from other pulpits you've been in these pews, and maybe you've just struggled with that for some time, and maybe today is that day that you need to make that decision to believe this Jesus Christ, the one who came, God in the flesh. Today's that day. And I'm going to invite you at the end to consider those things, and we'll give you an opportunity to make that happen. But that is what you need to decide. What do you do with what we've been saying about Jesus? Well, today, I'm going to ask the rest of us this other question. Today, we're going to talk about passing these truths on to others. How do we do this, and how do we reveal Christ to others? You see, this gospel, these words that we've been learning, they were never meant to just sit inside of us and fill us up without going out of us. We can sit and soak all we want to, but at some point, these truths need to be revealed to others, don't they? We need to just set ourselves up to do that. They're never meant to be an exercise in knowledge. The gospel is meant to change us first, and then to move through us to those around us. It's active, and it's meant to be shared with the world. And so for you and I, the question is today, what are we going to do with this? How can God use you and me to spread the gospel to others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open your word, to see the gospel infused in us and through us to others. I pray, God, that you would use us in that way. Father, that you would open your word today, that you would express what you want us to hear through me. Father, that you would help us to learn and to grow in Christ. And thank you, God, for just the love and being able to share this gospel with others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So some might say these mysteries of life that we experience are becoming less and less. As science grows and we become more knowledgeable of our world around us, some might say, well, we're going to continue to understand these things better and better, and we'll learn, and we don't need to know who this God is anymore. I'll tell you, that's not true at all. There is nothing that will be found that there will not continue to be mysteries. Scientific devices that can detect the gas makeup of stars hundreds of millions of light years away, we have those, and they continue to discover those things far away in our galaxy. And then they find other mysteries they cannot explain. We don't know why this is happening, and we're just guessing. Machines that can harness the quantum states of atomic qubits, those are little particles in the quantum world, and create faster computers. And yet, when they get down to the subatomic particles, and they're trying to understand how these things work, they don't understand it. I study these things. You can go to these websites, and I do. These are one of those things that I, as a nerd, enjoy going to. There's a physics.org site, by the way, if you ever want to go there. And you can find all these articles on these things, from astronomy to micro nanotechnologies, everything in between. And the more they stretch, the more they find they don't understand how these things are actually happening. There's always a mystery, and there will always be a mystery to life. Our dependence on God is a mystery to the world. When Jesus came, he explained that mystery of who God is. He revealed it. And many people, including many of us, missed it. We didn't understand it. God offering himself as the fulfillment of everything we're looking for, everything in life. He is the fulfillment of that. And now you and I have the opportunity to explain this darkness and this mystery to the world around us. Isn't that exciting? You and I don't have to go to a scientific article anywhere to find the mystery of life. We already have it. We just raised the Bible earlier, and we have the answer to the mysteries of life, don't we? We have them right here, amen? There will never be a greater place to go to explain what that mystery is all about right here than this place. First of all, we have the ability to personally witness about that to others, to proclaim this Christ that we know. Second of all, we have the ability to support others to go and proclaim the mystery of Christ. The focus for today, because of one of time, I would love to go to the first one, is to explain how we can support others to proclaim this mystery of life. For the next few weeks, in this month of October, we're going to go have a missions month, or an emphasis on missions, just because we need to reset ourselves and understand what missions is all about. For those of you who are new or still learning our missionaries, we have currently 8 missionary families that we support in our church. The Alsops, the Berries, the Campbells, the Kulbaughs, the Houghtons, McClures, the Richards, and the Shadles. If you don't know of all of those names, I encourage you to learn them and to take a look downstairs. We have letters from them, and you can learn them and their families. The Longs, who have been missionaries for a long time from this church, recently had to leave the field. And I know Pastor Josh mentioned that from the pulpit here at one time. They had a number of health issues and other things that challenged them, and they have a new ministry here in the States. So they've left the field. Who will take their place? The Mackeys, we were supporting for about 3 years to help them to rebuild a church out in Colorado, and that was our commitment to them, and we just completed that this month. And so we're ending that support who else can we support now? All right? This is what we want to do. So in the next week, Steve Bender is coming. We'll listen from him for his ministry. And I think that was mentioned earlier. Some of you here were here. He's had a ministry in Korea in the past. He came back and he served at the missions office. And he's going back to the field for the express purpose of ministering and supporting those who are actually in that ministry of missions and their struggles. So I'm excited to hear from him next week. Come back and let's support Steve as he's presenting what God's called him to do. We may also have Caitlin Way coming in a couple of weeks. We need to confirm some things for her. And she has a ministry to Togo. These are ministries that we want to support, we want to listen to, and we want to see if there's an opportunity there we can support them. It's up to us. What do we do? Now, when Jesus began his ministry, he specifically selected those who he wanted to be caretakers of the message that he had. And he trained them, he sent them out, and he supported them. And we want to do the same thing with our ministry. So today I want to talk a little bit about how do we deal with our missionaries. In your notes, in your bulletins, you'll see that here. I want to walk through several things. One is we have an important responsibility for our missionaries to select them, to support them, and to send them. We want to do these well, don't we? When we select them, Paul's life as a ministry and as a missionary gives us a good example of what it's like to be a missionary and what we want to consider. Although we want to be careful not to compare other missionaries to Paul, and that can go too far because no one's like Paul, there are good examples, and I want to take this passage today just to look at an example of what this looks like and to take some things from that. And actually, everything in here is for all of us, not just for those who we select as missionaries. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 17. And we'll go into chapter 3, verse 11. I'll give you a moment to get there. Turn in those wonderful Bibles that you have in your hands. And if you don't have one today, you can pull the one out of the pew there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Says this, and he, Jesus, came and preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how that mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what's the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In verses 17 through 22 there, we see this. Paul preached to those who are far off. And that's not just in the physical sense, far away from God. Far away. When we're lost, we're lost. We are so far from God that we don't see him. The lost are without God. Generally, missionaries go to places outside of the U.S., not always. Someday they may be here because it's necessary. But really, we're talking about going to people groups, nations, and those are everywhere in this world. When Paul went to the Gentiles, he went to those in nearby Caesarea. That wasn't very far away from where he lived. Then he went up to Samaria, and then he went across the Mediterranean, and he went all the way to Greece and then to Rome. His plan was to go all the way to Spain. He wanted to go everywhere he could, those near and those far. And so when we look at missionaries, we're looking at people who go to far-off places, places that you and I may never go to or may never have an opportunity. Second, in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3 there, we'll see this, where he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles. And you'll see here where he doesn't think highly of himself, more highly of himself than others, but he knows what he has. He calls it a gift of God's grace. See, Paul understands what he has in his hands. He understands that gift that God has given to him to deliver to the masses. He knew of this. It's more valuable than gold and worth everything to protect and proclaim. Everything we have been given here is more valuable than anything you'll ever have in your life. I don't care how much you earn, what accolades you have, what kind of gifts you have. This word of God is more precious than any of that. And you and I have the privilege to protect it and to proclaim it. Our missionaries are the same, and they're stewards of that message. Paul here knew that it was not something you just need to take in and learn and learn and learn and grow in, to grow lazy and content in, but it's to give to others, to share with anyone who would listen. This is what Paul understood, and this is what you and I need to grasp as well. I've learned so much just sitting in these pews, haven't you? Learning and growing in Christ, and now we have to do that and take it to other people outside of here. I wonder if you and I, have grown lazy and content with what we've learned. You and I need to ask ourselves that same question. Many of you are doing great. You're telling your friends, your neighbors, your family about Christ. But some of us, I myself included, I'm going to put myself right there. I get lazy. It's nice to sit, come in here and sit and learn, isn't it? But what about my neighbors? What about those across the world? What will you do? See, Paul understood that this message was for him to take, to preach to the Gentiles. In verse 8 there, he says, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 9, to bring to light for everyone the plan of the mystery. And Paul understood that he was taking this unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ to everyone who needed it. The third thing here, Paul understood this mystery. Obviously, he was given instruction by Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And he understood in these verses here that we're fellow heirs of the promise in Jesus Christ. All the things that Jesus mentioned in the book of John that we've been learning about him, that we revealed and we talked about right at the beginning of this message, he's revealed to us so much that we are never to hurt, thirst or hunger again, and we have purpose in life, we can have joy in life. The promises we have, no matter where we are or who we are in the world, you and I are partakers in these unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? Amen. That should make you excited These were words that he couldn't even find the words to say, to explain. It's unsearchable. I can't even put my finger on what it's like to know Jesus Christ. And Paul understood this mystery that was explained in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, and if you'll turn back there just a little bit earlier in this section, verse 4, what does it say here? It says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Doesn't that get you excited? That you and I, when we were dead in our trespasses, were made alive in Jesus Christ. That's no small thing. And we don't understand why it happened or how it happens, but we know that Jesus Christ made it happen. Amen? Because he has the ability to do that because he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, come to die on the cross and redeem us from our sins. That's the mystery that's been explained to us, those unsearchable riches. So Jesus explained himself as the immeasurable, he is the riches of grace. God's attitude toward us is no longer a mystery. The way to God, it's no longer a mystery. Our purpose in life, our destination in death, are no longer a mystery. Hallelujah. Amen. Those things that we often have struggles with in our life, the world has struggles with, they're no longer a mystery to us. So when we consider taking the word to others, we have something that explains the mystery of life to them. When we consider a missionary, we need to look at all of these things. First, are they truly grounded in this mystery that we just talked about? Are they truly grounded in that? We don't want to take on a mystery who doesn't really, a missionary who truly doesn't understand the significance of Christ. We don't want to do that. They ought to be as just excited about that as I am right now. They ought to understand these things. Second, do they truly understand that they are stewards of the gospel? Just as Paul said that he is a steward. When you're a steward of something, you're given the privilege of owning this. You've been handed this special gift, this treasure, and now it's up to you to protect it and to use it the way it was intended. I'm afraid many missionaries in the world start sliding off the side and they start misusing the gospel in ways it was never intended to be. Or they try to misinterpret or slide in certain things about the world to try to attract people to the gospel, and they're misusing and misapplying the gospel. They're stewards of something we have to protect and be very careful of. You and I have been given stewards of the gospel. Protect it, cherish it, and proclaim it. When we give it to our, when we're looking at a missionary, the same is true. We want to make sure that they're protecting it. So we want to be careful with that. And I'll mention at the end how we can do that and help our missionaries. Are they going there to proclaim the mystery or supporting someone who proclaims the mystery? If they're going there to start a service organization or a program or to Christianize the people, in past centuries we've had missionaries who go to Christianize or Westernize the people. I'm not interested in that. We're interested in proclaiming Christ. Now, that's not to say we won't support someone who's going with a gift to serve as a doctor or nurse or a teacher or an engineer. We'll support them. But their primary reason, the majority of their time, their purpose for going there is to proclaim Christ. I'll support them. So when we look at missionaries, we look at those things. Now, Now we've selected a good missionary. Does it matter where they go? Well, yes, we're going to send them somewhere, aren't we? And we're going to support them to go there. So when we look at selecting them, the second thing is we want to know, where are we sending them to? Are they going to the lost? That might seem a little obvious, because the lost are everywhere, aren't they? But I want to tell you this, there are lost in places that we thought were Christian, and now they're not. We sent the Berries back to Ireland, a place that was a significant influence on our own culture and our own lives to help us, and now we've sent a family back there to preach the gospel. There are places in the world which you might think are Christian influence now, and we'll have to go back again. And we support them. And so they're going back, and they're in Ireland. They're just as lost there as the Inuit tribes in the Arctic or the Iwi tribes of Togo, where this one young lady that may come in and present here in a couple weeks is going to. Just as lost. They're everywhere. So are they going to the lost? And the second is, are they going where God wants them to go and needs them to go? See, Jesus came and he spent time amongst the outcast and the hopeless in the nation of Israel. And his primary focus was right there within that nation of Israel. He didn't go very far, but he certainly had an impact, didn't he? Paul followed the direction of God's Spirit to go to many places all across the northern Mediterranean. And he had to be flexible. Flexibility is a big component within our missionaries because their plans are often changed. So are they flexible? Paul's desire for some time was to go to Rome, but he kept being delayed. In Romans 1:11, it says, I long to see you, and I've often intended to come to you, but I've been prevented. Paul's not always in control of where he went, and neither are you and I, are we? Sometimes God stops us in one direction and tells us to go somewhere else, and we need to be flexible. Our missionaries will tell you they have a passion for the people of a certain nation or a people group, and they go where God leads them to go, to follow. And we should do the same. See, this doesn't get just to our missionaries, does it? This talks to us as well. We need to be flexible, but we need to follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads us. That might be your neighbor right next door. That might be your son or daughter in another state. That might be a friend of yours at work. Be flexible. God leads us. Mark 1:17 says this, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Time and again, Jesus beckons us to follow him. And he's looking for people to follow him. We, like missionaries, should drop our nets and follow him wherever he leads us. The third thing is we need to be supportive of our missionaries. Supporting our missionaries is so critical to the success of their mission. When we find a qualified person to send and we know where they're going, now we have to be ready to support them. And that's for the long haul. They may be there a long time, and we need to be ready to do that, to dig in with them. So how do we support them? We support them in partnership. Okay, this is the part you all love. We need to support them financially, don't we? It takes money in this world to get things done, whether it's just to be able to get there, and they have to support and feed their families. So we need to support them financially. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verses 14 through 19. That's just to the right of Ephesians. Just take a few, flip your pages a few to the right. You'll come to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 14 says this. Paul's speaking to the Philippian church here. He says, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help to me for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more, and I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. A little side note for you all. Notice where that verse fits right there. You'll see it on coffee cups and billboards and everything. Notice where that's nested in there. The people were supplying the needs of the missionary, and God will supply your needs. It's tied together. It's not that just God's going to supply your needs. You need to be faithful to support the gospel. God will take care of the rest. At the end of it here, he says, and God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. See, as we step out in faith, this is where God says, I'll take care of you. Just step out in faith and support these things that God wants us to do. So we need to be ready and faithful to support our missionaries financially. We think sometimes it's a stretch to do that, but go right back to this verse right here. God will supply. God will take care of you. So if you haven't started, if you've been thinking about it, this is a good month to start. Think about how can you support our missionaries financially? They do need help. And by the way, if you've ever gone to a restaurant or the grocery store, you know the prices continue to rise. We need to continue to support our missionaries and give them a raise. And I would still love to do that. And yet, I'll say our missions money has not increased this last couple of years. So let's give them a raise, okay, guys? Let's do that and be ready to do that. Okay. The second thing beyond finances, we partner in prayer. Every missionary desires our prayers. They will say that from here. They will say that in their letters. They need our prayer for their work, their families, and the salvation of those who hear. Matthew 9:38 says this, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're always looking for more missionaries. Today kicks off something that started 5 years ago through the BBFI missions called Project 938. And you can see this, and some of you know about this. We've had flyers in the past for it. Project 938 looks like this. There's a 938 challenge that says if you can get up and get going by 9:38, and I think most of you do in the morning, or you can do this at 9:38 at night, set aside a little time just to pray for God to send more laborers into his harvest. That's as easy as you can make it. God, would you please find someone to go and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as a missionary? He may call you to do that as well, so be prepared. But sit down and set some time aside to pray for our missionaries. And they'll ask you again and again, you'll ask them, what can I do for you? And they'll say, pray for me. Pray for this person to receive Christ. They covet our prayers. And we can do that for them, to support them in prayer. The third thing, we can partner in their work. It can be a great encouragement for them to hear that you want to actually go and help them where they are. That might excite you and say, look, I could do that, say next year. If I could just set some time away and go and support them and be part of their endeavor, I'll do that, to actually go and partner in their work. So we can support them in all of these things in partnership. The second thing is we can support them in encouraging them. To establish the gospel can take a lot of time in certain areas. There can be what may look like failure, setbacks, roadblocks, discouragement, and it can really drag their hearts down. You can imagine trying to go in an area that's difficult already for you just to learn the language and get to know, and you're adjusting your whole lifestyle and trying to preach the gospel. If it falls on deaf ears, or it seems to, or if there are setbacks, and that can get really encouraging to a missionary. Just like you and me, you've had setbacks in your life when you've tried to talk to people, haven't you? It can really be a discouragement. And we have the pleasure of being able to come right here today and get that encouraging arm or a hand and to be encouraged together in person And they may be in a far off place where they don't have that physical contact. So they need that from us, just to encourage them. The work can feel lonely, and it can start affecting their family, and they need encouragement. My yard is probably like yours. It's a rock, and there's little crevices in between that has dirt in it, and you try to put a tree in there, and with all your might, you try to get that tree to grow. And I remember when I first was in my neighborhood that I've been in for a while, and my neighbors were there, and they moved in from Iowa, where they actually have dirt. He saw me out in my backyard, and I was pounding a hole with a pick, trying to make a hole for a tree. He thought that was really the strangest thing. And I said, well, you try it, and you'll see what happens here. You're trying to grow a tree in rock here. And I've tried, and I try, and I have a lot of trees now, but I've got like three trees where they tried to, I planted the tree, and it was like 12 feet tall, and then it seems to die. And then it sprouted back at the base. It started all over again. And it may have got stunted. This happened on two of my trees. It actually got up about this tall again, and then it just stopped another year. And I'm like, oh, it died again. I'm just going to leave it. And the next year it came back, and now I have an oak tree in my backyard that's growing great. A lot of times our work and our work of our missionaries is like that. It seems like it went nowhere. The words you've presented to someone in your family and the missionaries have presented, it seems to get stunted and stop. Be patient. Continue. Wait. Pray, and God will cause the increase. Sometimes it's just what God can do and not you that can cause that to increase. When our missionaries or you are discouraged, remember, God causes the increase. You and I can sit back and pray that God would cause that increase to happen, and He will. The last area we can support them, accountability. Accountability. Remember how precious that message is. We want to help our missionaries to be accountable in their mission, in their message. Again, this sounds a little bit odd in a way, but we need to make sure that they have the tools, they have the ability to stay true to the gospel. And that sometimes takes time just to ask questions and how are things going and What are you going through right now? What's your church like? Help them out to be accountable. Second area is accountable in their methods. How do they present the gospel? How are they doing it? What are they using to do this? And an area that often, again, we forget because they're just like us, help them to be accountable in their marriage. Discouragement comes, Satan starts knocking on that door. And Satan will destroy any good work he can, regardless if it's here or in another country. And the marriage is not a place that we need to forget about. Our marriages with our missionaries, we need to pray that God would cause them to love and care for each other, to grow together, and to be encouraged together. Anything we can do. So if you're looking for ways to support our missionaries, and if you write to them, hey, I'm praying for you and your wife to love and care and honor each other and to grow in your marriage. And that will emanate out of their marriage to the people they're trying to present to. It's just one of those things. You and I need to pray for each other in our marriages the same way that Christ would be glorified in our marriages, that we would love and care for each other. It's so critical to you and I in our growth, isn't it? And our missionaries are the same way. I just wanted to give you a few thoughts today to, in our mission emphasis, think of all these things as we have missionaries coming, and as you're thinking about how you can support and uplift our missionaries, these are things that I see in Paul's letters, how we can do this. I wanted to just mention a couple other things as we get ready to close here. One of those things in life, when we start to look at ourselves so much and we get self-absorbed, and the sin creeps in, we need to ask for forgiveness. We need to replace it with something other than ourselves. And often where we can go is, where can I present and proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ? We can get so self-absorbed. We can worry so much about ourselves, about what's happening in our own lives, that we forget that our neighbors are lost in darkness. Let's refocus ourselves. Let's make our focus to present and proclaim this mystery, this gospel of Jesus Christ, that so excites us that we just want to tell it to the world. That'll get us out of ourselves, and things will change. Your attitude will change. Things about you and your family will change. If all of a sudden, why don't we just get out of ourselves for a while and start thinking about other people and Jesus Christ in their life? Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful, God, that you saved us. Through Jesus Christ, we have hope in eternity. Thank you for the blood that he shed on the cross for us, for redeeming us. Thank you for the fact that I am not hopeless, that the mystery has been resolved, that I know Jesus Christ, that I know God, and that I have the opportunity to proclaim him to others around me. I know of my neighbors who need Jesus Christ. God, help me to present this message to them. God, give me opportunities and boldness to do that. Father, use us to proclaim the message through our missionaries to support them wherever they need to go and wherever they're called to go. God, help us to be faithful to them, to support them in any way that we can. We thank you for all of these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. Before we go today, I just wanted to give you these final last application notes at the bottom there. Do you know this revealed mystery of God? Meaning, do you know Jesus Christ, the one who revealed himself? If you haven't met him, are you ready today to trust him as your Savior? If you are and you have questions about this, please come and see me, talk to me afterwards, pull me aside. I'll spend as much time to go through the scripture with you as necessary. We'll talk it out, but don't leave here today lost. Second, are you listening to God and willing to go where God is leading you to go? And the last is, are you supporting our missionaries? And I want to say this, many of you have been faithfully supporting our missionaries. Thank you for that. I want to say that our church does well in that, and let's just do more, okay? Let's do more. We can do more, can't we, people? We can, because God is the one who supplies every need that we have, and he can do more.